rivers of grace. Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return. Heal every heart and right every wrong. Oh, I need you right now. Come and turn this.
Well, good morning and welcome. My name is Jason Sheeler. I have the honor of privilege to be the senior pastor helping the Beach Church. We like to say, welcome home. This is the no judgment zone. It's a place of God's grace. It's a place where we get to connect with God and God comes to connect with us. And we'd love to honor your presence with us in your worship folder. There's a little connection card if you want to take that out and fill it out. We'd love to be able to just fill out the front, be able to recognize your presence with us. You know, sometimes when we come to worship, we tend to think about, okay, we're going to come to worship, we're going to learn something, we're going to sing some songs, or and we're going to hear the word. But I want you to understand, when we come to worship, God is here. And God has called you by His Spirit to be here. And He calls us to say, look, remember the Sabbath day. He commands us, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, right? This is a day of rest, to be set apart. God sets it apart to slow us down. So all the other stuff that's filled in our hearts and minds stops driving us, and He can drive us, and He can fill us, and He can minister to us. We come to worship because it's not our work. It's God working in us. This has been a hard week. There's been huge trauma, school shootings, military shootings, 9/11, Charlie Kurt. And it's a heavy week. And there's anger, there's hurt, there's loss, there's grief. I mean, just disappointment. And I think we really just need to run to God. This is what a reminder about. And so before we get just to our worship and we do our normal thing, I really want us to just rest in the presence of Jesus. I just want you to just breathe in His presence here. You know, the Bible says the Spirit is always praying if it's interceding for us. But we're so busy, I mean, we don't even know what the Spirit's praying on our behalf. And it's praying for those deeper things that we tend to push down, not deal with. And I'm inviting you not to push it down. I'm inviting you not to to hold grudges and have anger and keep your hurts or struggles. I'm inviting you to just open up and run to God. Because God is a good shepherd. And what the shepherd does is he shepherds our heart. He shepherds our soul. That's why his word says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and take my yoke. Let me carry you. So let's set this apart and rest in his presence. Let's just enter into his peace. And maybe to do that for you today is just throw that stuff on him. Cast all your burdens. Just turn to him. Tell him your anger. Tell him your disappointment. Let's hear these words as we're sung over you, familiar words as you're just going to God.
To the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, the reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again.
I realized this last week of the burdens and the stuff I've been carrying, it's not me for to carry. It's you to carry it. The Lord has said that, you know, in this life you're going to have troubles. But he says, take heart. I've overcome them. And we look at this world, I mean, there's good things, but there's a lot of mourning that goes on of just hurt and pain, and we just carry this, God. But you tell us there's going to be these troubles. There's going to be these crises. There's going to be this chaos. But you've overcome it. And so what does that mean? We don't have to be led by our emotions and the chaos and everything that's pushing the media is telling us. We run with you, the victor, the king, the Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. And you said this. Your ways are above our ways. And so there's a humbling. But there's this truth that you work all things for good for those who love you. So God, we can't always see how this is going to work out good. And so when we can't see your hand, we trust your heart. We trust your words. And that's what people of faith do. We hold to your words. So God, shape us in this moment for the good you want to do in this. We put our trust in you that we're taking us to uncharted waters and this world that is kind of chaotic, yet you are working your good, and your good comes through you and your church. That is what your will is. That is your calling. Help us, Lord. Help us to trust in you in greater ways. To let go and grab hold, let go of this world and grab hold of you.
And so, God, we breathe in your goodness and mercy, your presence here. And we join together in our cries and our praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to rise as we do that. So with this time in Genesis, we're going to bring back children's messages for a while. Have a seat right here. There they are. Okay. Roy, I didn't see you at first. I know. I can't believe that. That's crazy, right? Put shoes on, please. Hey, we're going to talk about Abraham today. You know who Abraham is?
Yes, also known as Abram.
Thank you. You know the song with Abraham? Father Abraham
and his son.
Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord right now, right in. Okay, so what does that mean? You know, God called Father Abraham, and it made him his son, and he also calls you. And guess who else? Who?
Everybody.
Everybody, right? Everybody. God is calling. And what do we know about what Abraham did? Abraham answered God's call, didn't he? And he picked up everything and he left and he went to a place he's never been before.
Canaan.
Yeah, it was Canaan. Very good.
And they found Canaanites.
Yeah, the Canaanites. Are they friendly people?
No,
they're terrible. That's right. So that's like, look, this is a little map of the world. And, you know, you're in this little speck right here. And what if God called you to go all the way over here?
It would have to take a long trip.
Yeah, it was a long trip. It was a long trip for Abraham to do. So that's like what he did. He like went like to a whole nother world that you've never been to before, that you don't know about. You haven't been over here.
I've been here.
No, you
here,
have
here,
not.
Here.
Nice try. You've only been there on the coloring page. So you've never been there. And that's what Abraham did. Because he followed God and he trusted him. And so what does that mean for you and I? That means you and I have that call too. And we are his child, God's child. And God is calling us to trust him and to be like Abraham and go and bless others with the great news of Jesus. You and I have a calling to go share the good news of Jesus. And guess what? You don't have to go all the way over here. You can do it at your school. You can do it in your neighborhood. You can do it with your friends. Or maybe even your family. You can share the good news of Jesus too. And trust God will help you, just like he helped Abraham. And so one day you'll say, not just Father Abraham has many sons, but I have many sons and daughters in the faith because I shared it with them. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love, and your grace. Lead us in sharing
the good news
with others. Amen.
Amen.
All right. When you go to Children's Church, you may stay in here and worship with us, whatever you like to do. Miss Tracy is right out there for you if you'd like to go. Yep. Or you can stay.
Y'all feel free to stand with us as we continue to worship this morning. Look at the sparrow lacking for nothing.
with no fear of tomorrow and what it will bring. If I have you, I have enough, 'cause your love will satisfy everything I need, everything I need. My Father has. Time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. My Father has it. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide.
Everything I need,
and everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it.
So this song not only pertains to us individually, but also to our nation right now, where we're at, what, the things that we're going through. So we're just going to sing this again. We're going to sing Everything We Need, and Our Father Has It. Just sing this over our nation today.
Everything we need, everything we need, our Father has it, our Father has it. And every single time the Lord will provide, 'cause our Father has it, our Father has it.
Father, we thank you that we know somebody who has all that we need. And we're grateful that that is you, and that you allow us to come to receive it from you. So we pray, certainly for our country. We pray for Charlie's family. We pray for that young girl's family that was shot on the bus. We pray for everyone at this moment who may be facing some sort of persecution because of the hate in our country. Father, we pray that you will give us a word of hope today as we gather in this place, surrounded by you and your love, surrounded by people who know how to love and willingly share that with each other. So we thank you that we are in this great place to hear your great word. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We welcome you this morning to Hope on the Beach Church. My name's Steve. I am privileged to be the director of ministries here, which means whatever the pastor doesn't want to do, I will. So that's what that means. He's making faces. So we're so glad you've come to be with us. And we are fortunate to know God the Father, who has all the answers. It's been a tough week, emotional week for many people. Lots of losses, lots of pain. Not for everybody. Some people are very happy. But they ought not be. But there is a chance we can change the world. You believe that? I do. I believe it. There's a chance that we can change the world. And that chance is because our Father is in control. He's given His Son, so we have a message for the world. And He's given us a call to change the world. He's given us a call to try to reach 3.4 billion people in the world that are unreached. They haven't come to grips with the gospel. Many of those, most, have chosen to ignore it. And we launched today this new series. And I think you're going to find lots of new information in this series that you may never have come across before. Or maybe you did as a child in Sunday school. And some of these patriarchs and their stories you may have forgotten. And we're going to meet again on them each week in life groups. So we invite you to make sure you have found one. You can still sign up today. And we can discuss in detail what we talk about on Sundays in Genesis. So we launch today with a call to a man we know as Abram. Now he became later Abraham, as the kids sang about a few minutes ago. But at the point in our story, he is still Abram. God hasn't given him his new name yet. But Abram gets a call from God. And I want us to look at that call and see if there's something we can learn about it. See if there's something that would affect our call. You see, I believe that we have all been called. Now, you may want to say, now, Steve, let's not get carried away. I don't have any gifts or talents. I'm just a regular person. I would beg to disagree. You do not, as a believer in Christ, escape the call that He has on your life. You see, He has, at the very least, called each of us to complete the Great Commission. We have each been told to go into the world, sharing the gospel, baptizing believers, and making disciples of them. That's a call on all our lives. You say, like Moses, I don't talk so good. And I don't always make sense. Well, the Lord may have you share with someone who doesn't think so good. And you may make perfect sense to them. We don't know. We don't know what God has in store when He calls us. But He wouldn't call you if you weren't the person for the job. He wouldn't call you if he didn't know, he could accomplish his purpose through you. So it's special when you feel God drawing you to a task. That's a big deal. Abram was new in his relationship with the Lord. God from heaven was just beginning to show himself, and he put a call upon Abram's life. Let's look at that in the scripture. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land where that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That sounds like a pretty big deal. But I don't think Abram understood it all. The Bible tells us he doesn't even know where he's going. But the Bible does tell us that he accepted the call. You see, point A, God can call us in various ways. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now, in light of this scripture, I would give you a caution. God calls us in various ways. Could be through conversation with a Christian friend. Could through a message that we hear from the pulpit. Could be a song that speaks to our heart. The Lord can lift us up and enlighten us in many, many ways. You may hear from God directly in your prayer times. But I would caution you with this. God will never, never call you to do or be something contrary to his word. It'll never happen. There are those in our world and in our history who have committed heinous acts against their fellow man only to tell us in either their written word or spoken word that God led them to do it. And I always cringe at the same saying and think, no, he didn't tell you to do it. Satan may have, maybe disguised as an angel of light, but he didn't, God didn't tell you to do any that act because it goes against his word. And faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We will hear the Lord speak to us more through the truth of his word than in any other way. And so we need to know the word in order to follow God's leading. Abram was brand new in his relationship with God. He didn't have the word to depend upon. He was going to be what was written in the word. His life was going to teach us as it was recorded in Scripture. But he heard the calling and he obeyed. B, we need to obey God's call. You see, the call to Adam or to Abram wouldn't have meant much if he hadn't obeyed it. But as it is, he obeyed it and change the world. Many people's hearts are heavy because we've lost Charlie Kirk. Most would think way too soon. most would think when he still had a lot of influence to give. But we don't think like God, do we? He's in control. Charlie was in his hands. Charlie's ministry in his hands. But Charlie wasn't born who we came to know him. He may have been smarter than the average bear. Have you heard some of his interviews and debates using words I can't even spell? I don't know what he was talking about. Judy was showing me some of them on Facebook, and I'm thinking, what a patient, loving debater he was. God put the right man in that role because me, if I had to stand there and listen to some of the idiocy that he did, I'd have had staff in the back passing out idiot T-shirts. Here you go. Wear it proudly because you represent. But Charlie had a different approach. He even laid his microphone down to let the other person speak so he didn't interrupt. I'm thinking, man, you're patient. But see, Charlie understood that the person wasn't the enemy. The person wasn't the problem. They were misguided. They were blinded. They needed truth. And he wasn't going to be able to deliver truth if he sent them running. But he wasn't born that way. He wasn't that special. What happened was he answered God's call, not knowing what that was going to lead to when he stood in front of his first college crowd. How could he know what influence he was going to be given in our country and in our world? He just accepted the call. Never discard what you can do to change the world. We don't know. Say, well, how are we going to change the world from Santa Rosa? You ever been in my neighborhood? But you know, we don't know who we may be talking to. We don't know whose life may change for Christ and who Christ may use in even a greater way than us. Even Jesus himself told the disciples, guys, you're going to be able to do more than me. Charlie didn't know where he was headed. He didn't know what was happening, but he was born in a unique day and time, special for his gift, because he had all of technology at his disposal. He had a chance for his message to be heard around the world. You know, we have the same chance. Here at Hope, from where we broadcast, we have a chance through the internet to where you're sitting at your table or on your couch or listening in your car. We have a chance to carry the message around the world if we accept the call. God has called us to carry the Great Commission. He's called us to be a witness. He's called us to testify. He's called us to awaken hearts every day, everywhere, everybody. He's called us to plant other preaching stations up and down this beautiful beach. We've already had the opportunity to establish Inlet. And come January, we're going to double down. Pray for me, will you? I'm getting old, and we're going to have to preach more places. Now, young hotshot back here, he can handle that. Though he's not as young as he used to be. But he can handle it. God's given us help. He's sending us more guys. Christians come our way. We've got more help coming. But there's going to be a lot to do. This week, Pastor and Christy were at a conference. One that apparently was really good. And they've come back fired up. That only sounds like bad news for me. So you remember that pray for me part? Yeah, let's get that going. I know. There's always a staff meeting, and the news will break. Listen, when God calls you, he means get to it. Abraham didn't sit around and think about it. We do, don't we? We get called. We feel God's leading. We are impressed to move in a direction, and we want to know, wait a minute, how much is it going to cost? How much time do I got to spend? Who's going to do it with me? Where do I have to go? You see, we need to obey God's call. Look at B. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Abram didn't even know where he was going. God said, go, and he said, We start with the questions. Are you sure? Me? Why? Boy, I'm busy. Have you seen my calendar? We've got a lot of excuses, but we're simply to obey God's call. What is it God's calling you to do? What are you feeling led to take a chunk out of? What special thing does God want to do to help you finish the Great Commission? What's God calling? We have one. But number two gives us the first tough news. Number three will give us more. So buckle in. But number two, the call took Abram out of his comfort zone. Say what? We don't like that. We spent good money on that lazy boy. I don't like to get out of that thing. You know, days like today, I'm a big Kansas City Chiefs fan. By now, you know that. And they're playing the Philadelphia Eagles today at 3 o'clock. Now, if you need me, you know where to call. Anywhere but my house. I'm kidding. You just know where I'll be if you need me. But I'll have to leave that comfort zone if God puts a call on my life at 3 o'clock this afternoon. He's looking at me like I'm in his crosshairs or something. 3 o'clock, you say? No, we have to be willing to get out of the comfort zone. We got to lay down our love for Kansas City Chiefs. We got to lay down our love for whoever your team is. We got to lay down our love for the Florida football program, for the blessed Bama. We got to lay it down. None of those outweigh the call that God puts upon my life. And can I say this? And man, don't get mad at me. Even above our family, Abraham, he picked up, took his with him. Let's look at that. The call took Abram out of his comfort zone. Look at the scripture. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old. You think you're close to done? You want to be done, I know. But nope. He was 75. And Abram took Sarah, who, if you know your Old Testament, must have been a gorgeous woman, apparently. So he takes her, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. Now I got to ask you, who takes their nephew? Who takes their nephew? He did. And all their possessions that they had gathered and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. We already heard that message in the children's sermon. The kids were telling us. And there were Canaanites. Yeah, you have to know your Old Testament to know what that's going to mean for Abram. But I'm pretty sure he was thinking, nobody mentioned Canaanites. And so he leaves his comfort zone. He picks up the folks he knows. He goes away from his homeland, from his kinfolk, even from his father's house. He leaves and heads out to go. Hey, Abram, where are you headed? Don't know. But you're taking everything and everybody, even your nephew. Where are you going? Don't know. God called me, and I got to go. Left his comfort zone. Asked Sarah to leave hers. Ask Lot to leave his. Ask the people who worked for him to leave theirs. Will you leave yours? I don't even know what yours is. I'm sure your comfort zone's different than mine. God gives us different graces to get through things that we have to go through. God's given us power to accomplish what he calls us to do. In fact, Paul wrote to Timothy, "Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it." Faithful. If God calls us, he'll do it. He goes before us. He'll get it done. We have a call placed upon our life to leave our comfort zone and complete the Great Commission. Charlie did that. And Charlie died. We may have to. We don't know. We don't know where our call may take us. Faith, point A, will lead us to new experiences. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have never known they could have survived a fiery furnace if they hadn't been first willing to stand when everybody else kneeled. The disciples were standing there with dumbfounded looks on their face. I just made that up. I don't know what they were looking like. But they were standing there holding 12 baskets of leftover food after feeding 5,000 just men with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And I'm sure that when they said, Jesus said, we got to feed these folks, they said, well, all we've got is 2 fish, 5 loaves. And Jesus said, pass it out. Now, I promise you, from reading the Gospels, somebody, one of those apostles, said, what's that? Just pass it out. There's 5,000 men alone. It's only 2 fish. It's only 5 loaves. It's a boy's lunch. Pass it out. They heard the call. They accepted the call. And they had to leave a comfort zone of taking food out into a crowd that they pretty well thought they were going to be stoned by before it was over because they ran out of lunch. You ever been to a church dinner and have one of the pans empty? I know, not on your watch. But people panic. We always get worked up when things don't quite go the way we thought they were going to go. And the disciples had to be amazed as they each held their own basket of leftovers. Amazing. We'll never know what God could accomplish until we answer His call. Now, I'm wearing you out. I want to stop. But I can't. No, I'm kidding. Scripture. Oh, sure. Set the mic up. Look at this scripture. Under point A. Jesus spoke to them saying, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, that is sheep, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. God gives us light and his voice to follow. And we could be headed toward miracles. We could be headed toward changing the world. The old preacher said, when God shows up, God shows off. Don't you want to get in on that? I love to be there when God does a miracle. I love to be there when God shows off. When we have to admit, nobody could have done that but God. That's a God thing. Now, I want to go from preaching to meddling for just a minute. There is no greater, has been no greater thrill for Judy and I than to have the opportunity to serve here at Hope. We never thought this was going to be our future. And I do count it a great honor to work beside our dear pastor. Not many men I've known love Jesus like Jason Sheeler. He's a man of vision, courage, and it is a blast for Judy and I to get to be here. Even those staff meetings coming tomorrow. I know. But it is an absolute blast for us to be here. Never thought it was coming. I was headed both in age and energy toward a peaceful requirement of retirement on the beach where I had been 20 years in a row, where I loved being. And the first day that I met our pastor, things began to change. The first day turned into 15 years of friendship, sharing, learning, growing. And it was a couple of times where I didn't fish quite right. But he taught me. I got that red fish in, you betcha. Got him in the boat. There were times when we looked at Scripture differently. And you know what's been great about our friendship is to look at that Scripture until we got on the same page. That's been awesome. To not assume we both absolutely know everything. In fact, we laugh sometimes that when we get to glory, it's going to be amazing to hear God straighten us both out. You boys were so close. But I want you to see in part number 3. Abram gave up control to God's leading. He gave up control. Look at the scripture. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I'll give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Abram kept going. Point A, trusting is the hardest part of following Christ. You'll never accept the call without trusting Him first. Look at what Psalm says. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Could we say it any plainer? We need to hear the call. We've got a world, 3.4 billion people, counting on the church to do what God ordained the church to do, carry the Great Commission. Now, I want to give you another word. This is where I go to meddling right here. I want you to look at point B. This is how Judy and I got here, to the great thrill of both of us. We should be looking for the next chapter in our story, not the conclusion. Many people come to a place like this and begin to think about winding it down, beginning to think about retirement. And I don't want to offend anybody, but I've never found that word in the Scripture. All I find is God calling us to the next chapter. Not the end. Lovingly, I say to you, when God is done with you here, He's going to be done with you here. The next sound you're going to hear is glory. Charlie did. The world went into shock. The world went into heartache. There were posts all over the place of folks weeping. His widow's heart was broken. His children lost a daddy. But Charlie went to glory. Charlie heard the echo of thousands of angels. He received the hug of his blessed Savior and that whisper in his ear, "Well done. Well done." And Charlie has begun the conclusion. But it never concludes here. It only concludes there. We've got a call. And we got to answer it. And the church is the only one God's ever called to answer it. I challenge you to hear it. And let's get to it. Memory verse. In God I trust and am not afraid. God bless you.
Amen. I have so many things I get if I wanted to say you have brought up, and I'm not going to go there. So I'm going to just lead us in some prayer time. That's right. Let's pray. God, I this is so true. There is so many good words in here. And we think about the 3.2 billion number thrown out. That is unreached people groups who have never heard the gospel. And we're talking about the other almost 8 billion people that have been around the gospel, and still tons of those have denied it and don't believe it. God, the world is only dark because your church is not bright. And God, you want us to shine. And I believe you got even ability for us to shine brighter than we ever imagined, but we can't even think of it yet. We need the faith, and we need the just to be poured into, to be lifted up to shine. The devil's trying to, and has been good at creating chaos, distraction, confusion, and distrust. And has taken you off the throne of our heart. God, your word and your spirit, put it back on, because you are the king, and you're ushering in your kingdom through your church. And that's the kingdom that matters at the end of the day. I mean, if we're going to have a better country, better world, I don't look at a political party. I look at the King Jesus and his kingdom. Because if our lives and our hearts were aligned with him, this would be a better place. So God, align your church, who already knows and loves you. Man, get Satan out and unite us and brighten us. For your name's sake. And so we pray. And we pray again. And we continue to pray. And we pray in a prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So it was true, we were away, and this was an incredible retreat, a time of just prayer, worship, and just be with God. And God did some downloading, he did some unloading, and I'm just trying to put it all together to share to you, and so I'm just looking forward to doing that as I get a chance to do that. In your worship folder, we have an opportunity to honor our King in our worship and with our tithes and offerings. So you have an offering envelope. You also have your text to give, all those wonderful ways to give, whatever God leads you to do that as you honor Him in our worship and as He truly is the King of our life and our heart, and all things are from Him. We honor Him. In your worship folder, we also have that connection card, which is shared in the front and just on the back. Man, we just always say, like, what does the Bible say? How am I going to be saved? Is to believe. And when the Bible says believe, it's not just in our head. It's with our whole life. You know, we always say, hey, we're calling you to live for Jesus. We ought to say, no, we're calling you to die for Jesus. Because it's a dying of yourself, and it might be a dying, really, for Him. That's the call. That's the call. But to believe, that's what it means. And that's what it meant for the early church. And the Bible says, if you want to be saved, believe and be baptized. And if you want to learn about that and know about that, and let's just talk about it after service and pray about it, and let me just share it with you a little bit more. I'd love to do that. Also, you see, we have membership class coming up this Tuesday, and also next week. This is for those who want to confirm their faith in the Lutheran Church. This is our theological box, Missouri Synod, a very conservative Bible-based church, but it gives you an opportunity to understand where we are coming from and theologically, and say yes, and I confirm my faith in that and become a member of the church. We also ask you to be part of that partnership class, will be offered next month, and by partnership says, man, you know, I'm going to partner with you in the mission and that we're about and officially become and commit to it. So those are the opportunities coming up. Also, you see opportunities to serve there and prayer requests. Lastly, you have your insert of your life group cards. Don't do life alone. That's what happens. That's what makes us crazy. God brought you into a family because you're meant to live in a family, not just go to a family. There's a difference. And life groups are part of that. And so if you don't see an opportunity, let me know. But we try to provide as many as we can. And please, let us help you find a place to connect. So with that, we'll continue our worship as we do, and you also see opportunities to donate. We invite you to bring your offerings and your connection cards and the offering plates up forward.
Except for a heart singing.
I had no idea he was going to sing that song. We sang that song several times just last week. Because it hits me. We just have forgotten. He is the King of Kings. I mean, we made Jesus our homeboy so much in this world. He is our friend, but he's the King. And as the King, I mean, this song is just so humble. We should be humbled in his presence. We should almost want to fall face on the ground because the weight of his presence. Just his presence. And yet we get so casual. I just want to give you a moment. Because I know, as I listen to this message, this week, it's just been humbling to think of the great King who saved and we serve. And really how poorly I would say I serve. Put those words of that song in your own life to say, God, I confess, you don't have my heart. And this is really all I got for you. Because you didn't die to get my money, to get my, you died for my heart. And is your heart really there? Spend a moment, think. Pray. Because here's the thing. I never want to get my heart to be cold and callous, to be like Pharaoh. When Moses says, let my people go, and what did he do? He hardened his heart against the Lord. I can't even remember his name right now, where Jesus interviewed right before his death. I got Pharaoh in my head. I can't get to the Pilate, yeah. Pilate, you're no king. They say you're a king, and he can't recognize the King. He's blind. His heart is hard to it. Is our heart blind? Our eyes blind? Our heart hardened to the call of God? Man, God, keep our hearts soft. Keep it willing. Keep it open to Him. And the Lord knows our hearts can get that way. And this is why He comes to us again. He comes to us in His bread and wine, and He says, remember, I died for you. Remember, I've done all this for you to forgive your sins. That He softened our